Listen to the buzz of conversation. The buzz of conversation tells you that everybody's got something to say on the subject of disappointment. It may only be that my most recent disappointment was when Nigel asked me to turn to you and ask you what your recent disappointment was, but there we are. But disappointment happens. Disappointment is real. Sometimes it's trivial. Some of you probably said, my toast was burnt this morning, my egg was hard and it should have been soft. But some disappointment is serious. Broken relationships, some kind of failure, shattered hopes and dreams. We can be disappointed with people. We can be disappointed with situations. We can even be disappointed with ourselves. Elijah was all of these. God asks him a question, what are you doing here? And he says, the Israelites have rejected your covenant, God. That's Elijah disappointed with people. They've broken down your altars and put your prophets to death. I'm the only one left and they're trying to kill me. That's Elijah disappointed with the situation. I know better than my ancestors, he prays. That's Elijah disappointed with himself. But Elijah is also disappointed with God. He starts off by saying, I have been very zealous. Implication, where are you, God? I'm doing my bit. What are you doing? You see, Elijah's living at the moment in the backwash of Mount Carmel. If you'd read the previous chapter, that's Elijah on Mount Carmel, the contest where they built the altar and they pray for the God who answers by fire. And Elijah wins that contest. And he puts to death 450 prophets of Baal. And as a result of that, word gets back to Jezebel. And Jezebel threatens him, as we read at the beginning of the chapter. Elijah is living with discouragement in the face of threats, in the face of danger. He's discouraged and disappointed by opposition and by loneliness. And we'll see as we go on that God answers all of his fears, all of his gripes, all of his complaints, and meets all of his needs. Now, you've had the reading read to you. It's in 1 Kings 19 if you want to go back and read it again. So I don't propose retelling the story. What I want us to see out of this account is some aids to coping with disappointment. How we can cope with disappointment. Disappointment can lead to frustration, to hurt, to discouragement, to depression even. Perhaps mildly, perhaps of a serious form. But we need ways to help us cope, some ways. Ways of keeping our discouragement and our disappointment in proportion. We're not going to avoid disappointment altogether. It's a fact of real life. But there are ways through. And this passage gives us some of them. Some of them surprisingly practical for those of us who sometimes think the Bible only talks about spiritual things. There are 9 of them. Don't know when we last had a 9-point sermon. Here we go. Here's the first one. The first one is get enough sleep. Get enough sleep. When there's something on our minds, it can interfere with our sleep. And it's easy for this to become a habit. We can't sleep, so we stay up late. Then we sleep at the wrong times, or, you know, we don't sleep for very long. Then we get tired, and then we can't sleep, so we stay up late, and so the circle goes. Elijah is running away. He's worried and he's depressed. And part of his solution is sleep. 3 times in these short verses, we are told that he sleeps. And cultivating habits that encourage good sleep will help us deal with our disappointments. Number 1, get enough sleep. Number 2, eat and drink properly. It's easy when things go wrong to neglect regular food and refreshment. We can't be bothered to cook. We snack, we graze, instead of having regular meals. And yet, food and drink is part of God's provision to us. God sends his angel. Angels, you'll know, are God's messengers. They come and they say things that God wants them to say, and they do things God wants them to do. And God sends his angel to provide Elijah with food and drink, not once, but twice. Food sustains the body. It helps the mind. It gives us energy to be active instead of lethargic. So, eat and drink properly. Number three, take some exercise. Said he, sucking his stomach in slightly. We all know exercise is important, but we don't always do enough about it. It can be especially true when there's something on our minds. And yet, exercise stimulates the mind. It can help us to think clearly. Notice how God gets Elijah to have some exercise. He sends him on a journey, a long one. 40 days and 40 nights walking. Now that's what I call exercise. And whose idea is it? It's God's idea. It came through the angel again. The angel said, eat and drink because the journey is too much for you. And Elijah might have said, journey? What journey? But God has a purpose in getting Elijah to Horeb. I believe God wants to meet him there. So the idea of journey is born, and Elijah gets his exercise. And I believe that that exercise is part of the plan. You see, amongst other things, getting good exercise helps us to sleep. We can be disappointed, we can have fear, we can have worry in our minds, and we get mentally tired very easily. And then we sleep for an hour or two, and perhaps mentally we're refreshed. But if we're physically tired as well, take a long walk, dig the garden, clear the garage out, play a sport, then we sleep better. And when we sleep better, we feel better. And when we feel better, we can achieve something. Take some exercise. Fourthly, have a purpose, a plan. Disappointment can leave us purposeless. Or if we've got purposes, then we sometimes ignore them. It's gone wrong. They've let me down. It'll never happen. I can't do it. What's the point, we say. And so we shelve our plans. Everything goes on hold. But God gives Elijah a purpose. In fact, he gives him four. One, go to Horeb. I'm going to meet you there. Two, anoint Hazael. Three, anoint Jehu. Four, anoint Elisha. We feel washed out, useless, without a purpose sometimes when we're disappointed or discouraged. But God still says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you a hope and a future, to give you a purpose. God wants us to have a purpose. Number five, do something. Discouragement can encourage us to do nothing. We become couch potatoes, watch too much TV, when we could be doing something. Well, anything really. God sends Elijah to do something, to anoint two kings and a prophet. We may find that God gives us something particular to do. Or we may just need to restart that hobby, or decorate a room, or invite guests round, read a book, go to the gym. Do something. But perhaps especially, do something for other people. It helps to fill our minds, to be more positive. Don't just have a purpose, but start to fulfill it. Do something. Number six, hold on to the truth. Hold on to the truth. We need to seek out and hold on to the truth, not lies. God asked Elijah what he's doing there. And Elijah responds with quite a long list. I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. Your people have rejected the covenant. They've broken down your altars. They've killed your prophets with the sword. And I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me. Well, you've heard the reading. You picked out the lie amongst that lot, didn't you? I've been very zealous, Elijah says. True. Your people have rejected the covenant. True. They've broken down your altars. True. They've killed your prophets. True. They're trying to kill me. True. And I'm the only one left. Wrong. Elijah, you're not the only one left. There are 7,000 left who've not bowed down to the prophet to Baal or worshipped him or kissed his idol. You are not the only one left. And sometimes you may have noticed that our disappointment is aggravated not by the truth, but by a little lie, a little misunderstanding, a little bad imagination mixed up with the truth. We need to be those who get the whole truth, especially what I like to think of as a kind of balancing truth. Lots of the things that Elijah complained about, the broken altars, the rejected covenant, the prophets dead, were true, and they were things that weren't going to change in a hurry. And it may well be that your and my disappointment are things that are not going to change in a hurry. But those disappointments are balanced sometimes by things that are equally true. God still loves me. He promised he would never leave me. God still cares. He provides for me. He has a purpose for me. And while some of my truths may not change in a hurry, they're balanced by equally valid truths on the other side. We need to be people who get hold of the whole truth. Number 7, keep company with others. In our disappointment, we may tend to cut ourselves off from other people, but we still need each other. Back at the beginning of Genesis, you remember, God said it's not good for man to be alone. I believe that applies to women as well, actually. And, you know, it still isn't good for us to be alone. Some of us are blessed with spouses. Some of us are single out of choice. Some of us are single not out of choice. We either haven't yet found a life partner, or perhaps we've had one and lost them through death or separation or divorce. Situations which may or may not resolve themselves quickly. But despite that, we're still not meant to be alone. We at least need friends, companions on life's journey, those who have a common purpose with us, a common perspective, interests that they share with us. Those who, for example, may come alongside us and help us to see the truth clearly. Elijah ran away. He was on his own. But part of God's solution for him was to put him back into company with other people. He gave him an assistant, Elisha. And we too need to be those who keep company with others. Number 8, keep company with God. Life is at times hard, and when it's hard and when we feel low, we're tempted often to give up on God. Elijah is running away from Jezebel, but notice that he runs to God. He goes to Horeb, the mountain of the Lord, perhaps another name for Sinai, where God gave the law. And Elijah is disappointed with God. But Elijah takes his disappointment to God. Often when we're disappointed or discouraged, we give up reading our Bibles, we give up saying our prayers, we stop coming to church or home group, and then we wonder why God seems to be so far away. Perhaps we're running in the wrong direction. Keep company with God. And number 9, keep listening to God. God's question, Elijah, what are you doing here? Is not because God doesn't know and he needs to know. God wants us to know the answer to his questions. For us to face up to the situation, to know the truth. This is one of the great questions of Scripture, and it goes alongside many of the others. God asked Adam, "Where are you?" To Eve, he said, "What have you done?" To the blind man, "What would you have me do for you?" To Mary at the tomb, "Who are you looking for?" To Peter, "Do you love me?" You see, God invites us often to say our piece, to make our point, because he wants us in a relationship with himself, to take responsibility for how we feel and how we think and act, because it's only as we face the present that we can change in the future when the situation changes. We may only hear God, of course, if we're in the habit of hearing him at other times too. Elijah hears God now because he has heard God before. If we were to turn back in your Bibles, you might go to chapters 17 and 18, for instance. You'll find in chapter 17, verse 2, it says, "And the word of the Lord came to Elijah." In 17, verse 14, Elijah says, "This is what the Lord says." He can say that because he's heard what God said. In 18, verse 1 again, "The word of the Lord came." And in 18, verse 36, Elijah is praying before the altar when he's asking for God to answer by fire. And he says, "Lord, may the people know that I have done this at your command." He has heard God's command already, which is why he's doing what he's doing. Elijah has heard from God before, so he recognizes God's voice on this occasion when the still small voice follows the earthquake and the wind and the fire. And you and I need to be those who cultivate the habit of listening for God's voice through his word, through prayer, through other people. In the quiet places. Because if we listen while the relationship is easy and life is comfortable, we're more likely to hear it when times are hard. Keep listening to God. And in this listening, Elijah finds that God answers all of Elijah's complaints. "Your people have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, killed the prophets." And what did God do? God sent him to Hazael to anoint him as king. You need to read on in Kings and Chronicles to get the rest of the story. But Hazael became king of Aram, king of Syria, as it probably now is. And it was through Hazael that God punished the people for their disobedience. They'd killed the prophets, they rejected the covenant, and God brought his judgment upon the people through Hazael, who invaded. "And they're trying to kill me," Elijah says. And God sends Elijah to anoint Jehu. "The trying to kill me is just the latest event in the history of Ahab and Jezebel, who had brought the worship of Baal into Israel and led the people astray. And it was going to be through Jehu, again, if you read the story on, that we find that he becomes the means for the overthrow and the destruction of the house of Ahab. "And I'm all alone." And God tells him that he's not alone. There are 7,000 others, but he sends him to anoint Elisha, who will be prophet after him. Elijah had said, "I'm no better than my ancestors." Well, maybe. maybe not. But God has a purpose for him and has met his needs. So, in conclusion, disappointment, discouragement and hurt are real enough. And they're not all problems that necessarily get solved immediately. But perhaps by getting enough sleep, eating and drinking properly, getting a good measure of exercise, having a purpose, doing something, holding on to the truth, keeping company with others and with God, and listening for him, God brings Elijah through his situation. And the same God has the same resources available to us in our disappointments. Let's be those who use them. Amen.